Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is that gospel reading about the Syrophoenician woman. I'd like to read just the part of dialogue with Jesus. Jesus said, "First let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, it's an honor for me to be here and to share God's word with you this morning. You've been going through a summer series about how faith and life connect. Many times as Christians, we talk about our faith, but then when we leave this facility where we try to say this is our faith and we confess it to one another and we support one another, when we walk out into the world, it seems that our faith and our life are separated. But that's not where it needs to be. Faith and life need to connect so that as we live out our life, we live out our faith in whatever vocation God has called us to. For one who believes that Jesus is my Savior, who has forgiven me and has empowered me with the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, faith and life are seen in a new and refreshing way. The Western world, though, doesn't usually recognize this, but many of our brothers and sisters in the Southern Hemisphere know very well exactly how faith and life connect with one another, sometimes through sacrificial ways, and sometimes in ways that allow them to share the gospel. Your brothers and sisters in Ethiopia, in the Ethiopian Lutheran Church, encourage one another to share Jesus everywhere they go, in whatever situation they find themselves in. It's one of the fastest growing Lutheran churches in the world. They outnumber the number of Lutherans total in the United States, not just the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but the Lutheran churches all through the United States. God is doing a mighty thing as they allow faith and life to come. I'm sure that our topic today, being both broken and transparent, will not make any report on the evening news today. You don't have to look for it. It won't be there. Usually they're not talking about brokenness and transparency. If you search for broken and transparent on Google, you will mainly find images of broken glass. That's how they see broken, transparent, broken glass that's there. But there was a song by the name of Broken that was sung in 2018. I don't think anybody knows that song. Ever heard that song, Broken? One person has heard that song, Broken. That is great. Here is just a couple of the things that that song says. "I like that you're broken, broken like me. Maybe that makes me a fool. I like that you're lonely, lonely like me. I could be lonely with you." Life is not a love song that we like. We're all broken pieces floating by. Life is not a love song we can try to fix our broken pieces one at a time. And so that's just a one verse and a refrain that's there. But that song touches on the reality of a lot of people in the world that are hopeless, that feel that they're broken, that there's no hope for them. And so they turn to one another and say, "I hope you're broken too, and maybe as we're all broken, I can live with you in a relationship." It doesn't have to be marriage, but in a relationship of friendship, and maybe together we can, one piece at a time, put ourselves back together. Except that we see that the world isn't moving toward togetherness, isn't moving toward bringing those pieces back together. It seems as if they stay broken. There are many places you can go and search. There are even a list of what you might do if you're broken and frustrated in life. Some of those are just this. Set intentions every morning when you get up. Just make sure you know exactly what you're going to do and go do it. Force yourself to have fun if you're broken. Now just go out and have a bunch of fun. That's going to hopefully help you in your brokenness. Fake a better attitude. That's what I like. We're good at that, by the way. I wasn't really kind of telling too much on you when I said most of you, when you say, oh, great, life is great, and things are going fantastic, that you don't have any problems in the world. But you do. You know that, and I know that. But we're afraid to share that truth with people, even here in this congregation. Or the one I also like, have yourself a good cry. That's going to somehow change all kinds of things. But these things are not what is going on in our text. This Syrophoenician woman understood who she was. She understood the realities of her day. She was Greek. Jesus was a Jew. The Jews called anybody who wasn't a Greek Gentiles, who wasn't a Jew Gentiles. And they also called them dogs. And whenever you see that word dog in the New Testament, it refers to those who are not Jewish. And so she understood that coming to Jesus, who had come into her area to try to find some rest, she was going to a person that she could be rejected in front of. And yet, she understood exactly who she was. She wasn't trying to put on any face. She wasn't trying to change the reality. She was facing up to the fact of her own brokenness, her transparency of who she was. And yet she came. And she fell down at the feet of Jesus, demonstrating humility and understanding that she had nothing in who she was to force Jesus to do anything for her. Any good Jew would say, Jesus had the right to say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. It's important that we understand that, because Jesus comes into this world for this woman, for the tax collectors, the ones that are cast out of society because of their nationality or because of their life situation. Jewish people at that time seemed to put those away. If you had a little spot or a little wrinkle on your personality or on your walk with God, then you were rejected by the religious people. But here's this woman. She doesn't argue with Jesus about the food when he says food shouldn't be taken from the children and given to the dogs. She doesn't try to fight that and say, you person that looks down at me. She knows who those dogs are. She knows that it represents her. But listen to what she does. Understanding her brokenness. Not fighting to cover up the transparency of the world around her. She says, just give me the crumbs. They'll be enough. Think about that. Just let me have the crumbs that fall off the table, because the dogs are right there for the crumbs, for the little pieces of meat that might drop. That will be good enough for me. I believe that the crumbs will be able to heal my daughter. She was not only broken, but she was transparent. She knew who she was. She knew who Jesus was. She wasn't hiding anything, and as a broken person, she trusted Jesus to do what was best for her. She had nothing to stand on, nothing to demand anything, only the trust that this man, Jesus, would receive her, that he was God, and she humbled herself before him and was not afraid to request the healing of her daughter. The promised Savior that was promised in Old Testament by Old Testament prophets is described in Isaiah as one who would not break off a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick. Now think about that. If you have a reed that's broken over or turned over, crushed, bruised, There is no value in that. It's not going to grow back and be perfect again. Usually what we do is cut it off and then let the others come so we don't see this bruised reed. When you see a smoldering wick on a candle, you know there's not going to be light again from that. It's hot. It could, I guess, maybe at the right situation, maybe flame back into flame, but there's not much left there to give out light. Usually we just snuff it out. It's not of value to us. Isaiah is saying that the promised Messiah was coming into the world, and he was not going to look at people and say they were not valuable. As crushed as they were, smoldering as they were, like a reed and a wick, our Messiah was coming to give each and every one of us value, because he was God. And God understands that each person is worthy of his love. The religious leaders of Jesus' day accused him of being a friend to tax collectors and the outcast. And Jesus did not shrink from that at all. That is wonderful for us. That's exactly what we need to have. Well, you're familiar with two men that went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. In Luke 18, we hear this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says about that story, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The right relationship that you and I should have with one another and with God himself is a relationship of humility, not a relationship of grandeur, not a relationship of claiming all the good things we've done and how life is treating us okay. But we should humble ourselves and understand that we are but human, broken people that stand every day to receive God's forgiveness through his Son. We saw that in David's Old Testament reading today in Psalm 51, where David showed his brokenness and his transparency when he said, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely, I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived. Here was King David saying that, one of the greatest kings of all times, one who had experienced God's marvelous presence in his life to accomplish many, many, many things, and yet he recognize that standing before God and standing before other people, he had to say, I'm a sinner. I need God's forgiveness. David wrote another psalm about asking God for forgiveness, about being true with ourselves. At Psalms 32, where he said, when I kept silent, meaning I didn't confess my own brokenness, I wasn't transparent, when I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. We have pictures, many of them, in scriptures of God-fearing people that understood how it was to be broken and transparent. They didn't have to wait for some big issue to come up in their life. They understood the relationship that they had with God, who they were, and who God was. And yet, you and I struggle. We struggle, don't we, to be broken and transparent. I just came back from our Synod's convention in Tampa. It's held every 3 years. About 1,800 delegates dealt with many resolutions regarding our life and walk together in our mission to the world. Not everyone agreed with one another. Actually, there were kind of indications of people up there at the mic cutting down some other people because of something that they had said or some place where they stood. Sometimes there were even lies that were proclaimed. I don't think these people intended the lie, but human beings want to look good. And when confronted with maybe a question or confronted with what they felt somebody was maybe challenging them in their own person, they seem to just kind of let some small lie go out there that wasn't the truth. Now, you and I kind of did the same thing. And we want to put the best construction on us. We want to let people see us as someone who has it all together, someone who really understands how to live this life, and yet don't stay there. Satan would like for nothing else than for you to think that you're okay. You're one that's not broken. You can live what you want to live. Your spiritual well-being is just fine. Satan would want you to believe that. Satan would want you to live that way. But we put ourselves in darkness. We put ourselves in denial when that happens. You and I have an opportunity to encourage one another to stay with Jesus, to understand He accepts you just where you are. He has said you are valuable to Him. He was going to go to the cross to die for your sins and my sins. He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He has promised that His forgiveness is for you every day, every moment. Don't run from that type of a God who loves you that much. Open yourself up to Him. Cry out to Him and say, "This is where I find myself. I'm lost. I don't know what's going on. I feel belittled." And He comes and lifts you up and makes His light and peace shine in you. It's my understanding that at Trinity Lutheran Church here, you have small groups or groups that get together from time to time to share God's Word. It's a great opportunity to let people understand where you really are in your faith life, where your faith and life are connected to one another, to be able to let them pray for you, to be able to let them lift you up, but also for you to hear their own brokenness too. Brokenness and transparency and a spiritual understanding is health, vitality. It is a promise of the future, because as we leave ourselves open to Jesus, He comes, gathers us, and says, "You're valuable. I love you." So as you deal with the Spirit in your life and the power He has, walk in brokenness and transparency. Enjoying the forgiveness, the support, and the love that you get from one another, but especially from Jesus. Amen. And now we ask God to bless you and to give you His peace and His joy, so that you might be people connecting your faith and your life together. Amen.